وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Today inshaAllah ta'ala, ikhwan, we're going to come before you in order to make a mission statement. What are we going to try to be about in taking the reins of responsibility here in Germantown? And that statement is going to come inshaAllah ta'ala, وَيَتَجَلَّى لَكُمْ, in the life of that tremendous and illustrious companion by the name of Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari. So even though we're going to explain to you some things of the life of Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari radiallahu anhu, the attempt that we're trying to make is to give you an idea of what kind of mission we're on here. Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari radiallahu anhu, there's some ikhtilaf as to what his name is amongst the scholars of al-Islam. The majority of them are of the opinion that his name is Jundub ibn Junada. It's not important for us to come here to spend a lot of time trying to identify and pinpoint what is the actual name of Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari. What's important for us is the lessons that we learn from his life, from the legacy that he left behind, the things that took place to him and with him prior to becoming a Muslim, after becoming a Muslim, and after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. And there is no one better to give us this story than Abu Dharr himself, radiallahu anhu. So what we're going to do now is we're going to request from you, especially you students of knowledge, the people who are taking it upon themselves to try to call to al-Islam, we advise you to go back to Sahih Muslim and to read about those two long hadith about the Islam of Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari, because in that story is huda wa hidayah wa nur wal ilm wal hikmah. The student of knowledge and the regular Muslim who has family members who are not Muslims, who's working with non-Muslims, in that story is weaponry for all of us. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, in that hadith, he said that he was upon the fitrah, and 2 years prior to hearing about the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was looking for the truth. He was already on the fitrah, searching for the haq. And he used to pray 2 years prior to hearing about the da'wah of al-Islam. When he was telling his brother he used to pray, his brother asked him, how did you make salah, and in which way did you face to make the salah towards the qibla? He said, I used to make sajda to whatever direction Allah Ta'ala had me to make sajda towards. I'm on the fitrah. I have no knowledge about the sunnah or of al-Islam. Some of you may sit there and say, how was it that Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari used to pray? I want to let you understand something that is going to be the basis of what we're talking about today. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he said that he used to pray the salat of the night time, not the salat of al-Isha, but the salat of al-Tahajjud. He used to get up in the middle of the night and he used to call unto Allah Ta'ala to give him guidance. Muslims who claim to be upon the sunnah today, the overwhelming majority of the people sitting here in front of me today, they don't make the salat of tahajjud. Am I blaming anyone for that? No, we're not blaming anyone. We're trying to make a point, and the point is, look at the strength of Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari. He wasn't a Muslim as we know it, and he used to get up in the middle of the night to pray to Allah Ta'ala, seeking some guidance. The most difficult salat on any human being. He went on to tell his brother, when I heard about the da'wah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appeared in Mecca, I went to Mecca in order to accept al-Islam and in order to find about al-Islam. He said he came to a man who he considered him to be insignificant because Abu Dharr had heard about what was going on in the society. If you were a person who embraced his dawah, you ran the risk of losing your life. So he went to an insignificant person in the community and he asked him, أَيْنَ هَذَا الَّذِي تَدْعُونَهُ صَابِي? Where is the one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you people from Quraysh are considering him and you're saying that he has left the religion of his forefathers? He used the word as-sabi. They used to use the terms against the Muslims, the one who left the religion of his father. This man, who was insignificant, he wasn't from the chief of Quraysh. Upon hearing that question, he turned around to the people of Quraysh and he said, he is one of Muhammad's followers. The people came and beat Abu Dharr to a pulp. They didn't ask any questions. Are you here to give him a letter, Abu Dharr? Are you a relative of his? Are you here in order to help us to kill him? Just because he asked his name. Where is he at? The people came and beat him to a pulp and beat him unconscious, which will give us an indication of how the environment was in a society as it related to the Prophet giving da'wah at the beginning. Where the people come into al-Islam right now and we don't have this problem that we have to deal with. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, when I came through, they left me there to die. When I came through, it was as if I was a red idol. They beat me up so bad. So I wiped the dust off myself and the blood and I went down to the Zamzam wall, and I remained there for 30 days. And I drank and survived off of the Zamzam water for 30 days. When I came from the Zamzam water, I had layers upon myself and I never went hungry. Here's a very important point, Ikhwan, that we want to share with you, and that is, many people think when you hear about those hadith that the Zamzam water, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zamzam lima shuriba lahu. Zamzam is what you drink it for, it will help you. If a man has a STD, if a man has migraine headaches, if a man has problems remembering, if a man has some disease or some problem, people think that your iman is what helps you to overcome your problems because you believe. So the Zamzam acts as a placebo effect. Like if you were to give a person a sugar pill, tell him that you're giving him an aspirin, he thinks that you're giving him an aspirin, so he becomes cured. This is not the case with the Zamzam water. Abu Dharr had never been told about any Zamzam. He never heard a hadith about the Zamzam, and yet the Zamzam helped him out. He came up out of the Zamzam well after 30 days, during the night time, because he knew that at that time people wouldn't be at the Kaaba. When he came out, he saw only two women from Quraysh making the tawaf around the Kaaba, praying and making dua earnestly to their God, Isaf and Na'ira. Abu Dharr said that his hira overtook him and he wanted to make the Amr bil Ma'ruf and the Nahy an Munkar. So Abu Dharr said to those two women when they came around them, why don't you take this God and marry him to the other God? The two women heard him and disregarded what he said and ignored them and went around. He said he became more angry. So when they came around again, he said, I was from the most eloquent of the Arabs, but I couldn't find a metaphor to speak in, so I said to both of them, why don't you take this God and put a piece of wood in his private part so that he can have sex and do the other God? Abu Dharr, you just signed your death certificate. How are you going to say that to the women of Quraysh? Don't you remember just yesterday when you asked about Muhammad, they beat you down? The two women told him, had our men been here, you would have been dealt with, and we're going to get him now. So they left to go get the people on Abu Dharr. The man who was beat up the day before, Allah Ta'ala decreed that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companion Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu were coming to the Kaaba. They said to him, there is a person who has disrespected us at the Kaaba, and he says such and such and such a thing. Go and deal with them if you're really from Quraysh. The Messenger of Allah and Abu Bakr went to the Kaaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they worshipped Allah as Allah had them to worship. Abu Dharr said when he looked at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew that he was the Messenger of Allah without being told. Because when the people upon the fitrah, it's easy to identify the truth. He went to the Prophet and he made a sunnah that all of us practice today. That Abu Dharr gets the reward of that sunnah until Yawmul Qiyamah. What's that sunnah? As Al-Imam Muslim brings us the narration of Abu Dharr's Islam. He said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَكُنْتُ أَنَا أَوَّلْ مَنْ حَيَّاهُ بِتَحْيِيَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ فَقُلْتُ أَسْلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم وعليك ورحمة الله. He said, I was the first one to give him the salams of Islam. So I said to him, Assalamu alaikum ya Rasulullah. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and also to you is the salam and the rahmah of Allah. So according to the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, من سنة سنة في الإسلام كان له أجرها وأجر من عمل بها من دون أن تنقص من أجورهم شيئا. Whoever creates a good sunnah in Islam, he will get the reward of whoever does that sunnah without their reward being decreased one bit. So whenever we meet each other and we greet each other, we get the benefit and the reward, and Abu Dharr also. At this point in Quran, there's too much dialogue that took place that I can't go into. You go back to the book Sahih Muslim and you look under the virtues of Abu Dharr, and you read about that portion that comes concerning the dialogue between him and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because in it is light and knowledge. But suffice it to say that Abu Dharr, after sitting there and being called to a tawheed, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I believe in you and I believe in your message. I want to go now and proclaim it to Quraysh. The Prophet said, no, Abu Dharr, but instead go back to your tribe, because we're still weak. We don't have the power to engage the people like that. If they do something to you, Abu Dharr, we're going to have problems. You go back to your people and take it easy now and develop yourself, Abu Dharr. That's my advice. Abu Dharr is showing you his power as a man. He said, Wallahi, الَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَأَسْرَخَنَّ بِهَا بَيْنَ ذَهْرَيْنَيْهِمْ بِأَعْلَى صَوْتٍ أَمْلِكُهُ. I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hand, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, I'm going to go to the Kaaba and shout it out with the greatest voice that I have. So Abu Dharr went to the Kaaba for what? What was the benefit of engaging Quraysh with that kind of dawah, ya Abu Dharr? The first day you met those people, they beat you down. This is the mindset of the people. It's not time to engage them. Abu Dharr went to the Kaaba and he made the shahada. Quraysh commenced to pounce on him and they beat him to a pulp. Abbas, who was not a Muslim at that time, radiallahu anhu, he said to Quraysh, أَلَسْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ مِنْ غِفَارٍ وَأَنَّ تَرِيقَ تِجَارِكُمْ مِنَ الشَّامِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Hey Quraysh, don't you people know that this man Abu Dharr is from the tribe of Ghifar, and your commerce to Sham, to greater Syria? When you go and you take your goods to Syria, you have to pass his tribe. If you guys deal with him like that, they're going to do some highway robbery with you. Quraysh saw that their money could not be taken, so they left them alone. The Prophet and his companion sallallahu alaihi wasallam dusted Abu Dharr off. Abu Dharr the next day said, I'm going back again for the third time to get the third beat down, to proclaim the shahad. This is my right to order with the ma'ruf and to prevent the munkar. The same thing happened. They beat him down, Abbas intervened. Those are clear proofs, clear indications of the strength of Abu Dharr. We can't go into all of the examples and all of the positions of Abu Dharr during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But after the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, during the khilaf of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, Abu Dharr was sent to Syria to be under the authority of Mu'az ibn Abi Sufyan. When Abu Dharr was out there, Abu Dharr used to talk bad against the companions in public, in particular Muawiyah, who was the governor. Those Muslims who were rich, and those Muslims who used to spend money and live in opulence, and they used to spend and save their money, Abu Dharr in public used to warn against them and order with the ma'ruf and prevent the munkar. Now Muawiyah, who was also a companion of the Prophet,
And he knows that that position of Abu Dhar is against the Sunnah. Because you do not say out in public anything against the leader. We've been told to take him by his hand. And to go into private. And to give him some advice. This is the Minhaj al-Nabawi when it comes to talking about the ruler. But was it permissible for Muawiyah to take Abu Dhar and to kill him? To take Abu Dhar and to imprison him? No, if he would have done that, it would have been politically incorrect. What are the people going to say from the Tabi'een about Muawiyah if he did that to Abu Dhar? So Muawiyah sent Abu Dhar back to Medina. Ya Uthman, Khalifa to Rasulullah, you deal with Abu Dhar because he's making it haram for the people to save their money. And he's being tough with the people. When Abu Dhar came to Medina, Uthman had his discussion with Abu Dhar. Abu Dhar said, okay, I'll be quiet. Not long after that, Abu Dhar began to make the inkar on Uthman in public. Uthman, what are you doing? You people are messing up the money. You people are forgetting the Akhirah. Uthman being the Khalifa, he ordered Abu Dhar to live on the outskirts of Medina where he subsequently died, where he lost his life. What we want you to pay attention to here, Juan, is some of the positions of Abu Dhar. The fact that Abu Dhar came and he searched for the truth, even though he knew at that time the climate was dangerous for a person to ask about his time, that shows some strength in his personality. The fact that he went and he said what he said to Quraysh, to those two women, is a clear indication that he was ready to lose his life. The fact that he went to the Kaaba and he proclaimed the Shahada twice, 2 days in a row, is proof that Abu Dhar was a strong man. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he prevented Abu Dhar from doing this, he told Abu Dhar, go back to your people, Abu Dhar, and give them some dawah to al-Islam. So when he went to his people, he had all of the Ghaffar tribe to sit down. Now you have to pay attention. If you were to gather up all of the Masajid in Philadelphia, the Ghaffar tribe are more than all of those Muslims who are collecting themselves today for the Jummah. They all sat down with Abu Dhar. Abu Dhar called them to al-Islam. He didn't tell them about the Salat, the Zakat, the Hajj, or Ramadan. He told them about the Tawheed of al-Islam. Half of the Ghaffar tribe accepted Islam. From the one sitting and the one dawah of Abu Dhar. The other half said, we'll accept Islam, but we want to wait to see if Muhammad is going to be victorious or not. If we accepted Islam like our brothers, Quraysh should get upset with us. Maybe they're going to kill him, and it wouldn't have been wise for us to accept Islam. So when he makes the hijrah and he comes, we'll accept Islam. We give you our word. When the Prophet made the hijrah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the other half accepted Islam. There are some relatives to the Ghaffar tribe called Bani Aslam, like Bani Adam, Bani Israel, the tribe of Aslam. When they saw their cousins accepted Islam, Bani Aslam came and they accepted Islam. So all of that proves the strength of Abu Dhar, that all of those people came into Islam by Allah's permission through Abu Dhar. Where we have the Muslim today, and he may not necessarily be a bad Muslim, but we don't know anything about his al-Islam because he's afraid, he doesn't have the personality where he wants to let every individual know about his Islam. So there's no one sitting here after hearing the brief biography and Islam of Abu Dhar, except that that person is going to consider Abu Dhar to be a strong man. But if we were to look in Sahih Muslim further, we'll find another indication of the beauty of al-Islam. And this is our mission statement concerning Abu Dhar. Abu Dhar came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the Muslims started to defeat the other Arabs and they started to make a lot of money. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, fala tasta'milni. O Messenger of Allah, why don't you make me responsible over some of the people? Make me responsible over the Ghaffar tribe, over Bani Aslam. Send me out to the desert so that I can be responsible for some tribe out in the desert. Make me responsible for the people at the masjid in Germantown. Ya Rasulullah, why don't you use me like you use the other people? The Prophet said to Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, who I just gave you the strength of his Islam, Ya Abu Dharr, إِنَّكَ الضَّعِيفُ وَإِنَّهَا أَمَانَةٌ وَإِنَّهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ خِزْيٌ وَنِدَامَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى مَنْ أَخَذَهَا بِحَقِّهَا وَأَدَّى الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ فِيهَا. Oh Abu Dharr, verily I see you as a weak man. Abu Dharr, who just got beat down all that time. Abu Dharr, who doesn't care who he's talking to. One of the things that he did when he accepted Islam was he took the bay'ah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say the haq no matter who it was against. If man Muawiyah, it didn't make a difference, and it didn't make any difference how many people he had to say it to. Ya Abu Dharr, you are a weak man, and verily this position of leadership is an amana, it's a trust. And Yawm al-Qiyam is going to come as a cause of sorrow and as a curse on the people who took it and they didn't do it properly with it. It will only be a blessing for the people who took it and did right by it and they did what was upon them. That's in Sahih Muslim. Another hadith didn't have anything to do with Abu Dharr asking for being responsible. The Prophet just gave him some nasiha sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying to him, Ya Abu Dharr, inni araka dha'ifan وإني أحب لك ما أحب لنفسي فلا تؤمرن على اثنين ولا تولين مال يتيم. Oh Abu Dharr, I see you as being a weak person, and verily I love for you what I love for myself, so I'm going to advise you. If you are three people, you're the third of them, then do not be the Amir over those two people. If you're on a trip going from Philadelphia to Queens, New York tomorrow, inshallah, Abu Dharr, do not let yourself be the Amir over those two other people. What about 400, 500, 600 people? And do not let yourself become responsible for the money of the orphan. Does anyone in his right mind think that Abu Dharr would take the money of the orphan? Unjustly stealing, usurp the money of the orphan? Of course, he would never do something like that. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was explaining to Abu Dharr, if you don't put yourself in this position, Abu Dharr, you're not going to have a problem. Unless you're of the people who can take the responsibility and do with it what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have you to do with it. And we ask Allah ta'ala to give us the tawfiq in that. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى التَّثْبِيتَ وَالسَّدَادَ. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Brothers and sisters, there may be those of you who sit there who think, and even though they know this isn't the case, but the way some of us think and the way some of our minds work, Shaitan will have some of us to think and to believe that I have some miraculous powers and abilities to come here and we're going to change the condition of people's lives. To come here and to make the marriages that people have suddenly overnight, they're perfect marriages. Before I stepped foot in this city yesterday, or this morning, early this morning, there must have been no less than 10 messages that have come to me from different corners about marital problems. Wallahi, we recognize that there's a responsibility that we have. And it is my job and my duty to sit down and to know what my job is and to take care of it. But I am not the Messiah, I am not the Mahdi, I am not Isa ibn Maryam. Alayhim as-salatu was-salam. That is not my position and that's not my responsibility. But I know that I have a piece of the puzzle that I'm responsible for. And I see some potential here with the people who are trying to be Muslim. But at the same time, if I and Abdullah and Ahmed and Bilal, and that brother and that brother and that sister. The 20 of us are the only ones who realize our responsibility. What about the other 400 people? Wallahi, nothing is going to change. The situation will remain the same until everybody recognizes that everyone has a job and a responsibility. So that we see ourselves now about to embark upon a journey that Allah knows where it's going to end. We have a lot of things working in our favor. One of the clearest, most important ones is, from the ni'mah of Allah upon us, is the fact that we are not upon a minhaj that is not clear. We are not people coming in Palestine, starting our journey not knowing what's up and what's down. We have been exposed to the truth. And so we recognize the way you move forth is from the blueprint that has been left for us. That's a tremendous ni'mah. That's a tremendous favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the people have to become sincere about moving forward. Now, if you hear about the story of Abu Dharr, who definitely is stronger than all of us, but he was described as being weak. Why was he weak? He was weak because Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu was one of those people who he did not consider the weak people from the community. Abu Dharr made himself the measurement by which he was going to measure everyone else. When Abu Dharr gave dawah radiallahu anhu, Abu Dharr was the type of person, if you didn't get with his program right now, Abu Dharr is going to get in your face and let you know. So Abu Dharr, you're not the kind of person who can be in a position of leadership. We need people who are more diplomatic, people who can put people in their proper places, like Uthman, like Ali, like Abu Musa and Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. That's not to take anything away from Abu Dharr, but it is not easy, ikhwan, being in these positions. So therefore, it is our job to do what? To identify who the people are. One of the trials of this community here is the people who we have, this segment in this community, that we are very, very young in age and in experience, Islamic experience. A brother may be 25, but he's been out in the street, and if you were to leave him out in the streets, he knows how to deal. But when it comes to dealing with people and being a Muslim and moving forth and growing a community, he's very young. He's like Abu Dharr. You better get with the program or suffer the consequences. So it's our job to work with each other. We have only a few people in this community who are 40 and above. And like I mentioned before, just because a man is 40 does not automatically make him a person who is one who we're going to respect. He may be 40, but he's irresponsible, and he's acting like he's from the Sufaha, or the people who are foolish and ignorant. But we need both sides of the coin to get their piece of the puzzle and to bring it to the table. So we can't allow, like the brothers used to say in Orlando, we had a masjid of people who supported the dawah, but they would not say that they're on the dawah. So we have the brother coming in late for the masjid, for the Salatul Jummah. He walks all the way from the back, and he knows that there's going to be a space up here, and he comes with his shoes on, and he prays two rak'ahs right in front of the people. And then when we mention, ya akhi, the people are not ready for that. During the course of the day when we're praying by ourselves, you know my position. Now it's not the sinner for that brother to say, akhi, why are you always trying to help out the brothers and the people who are not really about the dawah? Ya akhi, you're harming the dawah in that behavior. So the young brothers can't say to me, Abu Usama, why are you always getting on us, and you're leaving the other people? Because, ikhwan, youth is a problem. It is not taken and is not developed. And that's why right now we find in the Dawah to Salafiyah in America, who Allah Ta'ala has put the responsibility in the hands of African Americans for some time, yourselves included, there have been a lot of immature decisions and positions that have been taken. And as a result, the dawah suffered. We have an opportunity, ikhwan, to take it to the next level. Now, if someone is thinking that Abu Usama is going to do that single-handedly, then he's out of his mind. He is sitting there and he's dreaming. So I'm saying to you, this is a fitna And this is a khizyun and a najama. It is the cause of a person being cursed, yawm al-qiyamah, and a person being sorry for what he put forth, being in position. Now don't let anyone think, I'm going to sit here, and that's going to be my description, and you're going to sit there with no responsibility. Now, we're all going to be responsible for this thing, because inshallah, we're all in it together. If anyone has some understanding other than that, then I beg you and I ask you by Allah to please come to me to let me know so that I can know who and what I'm dealing with. Because we're trying to move forward with our community only seeking the help of Allah Ta'ala and the reward from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So with this, Ikhwan, my call to you is, this is not a one-man show. In front of you is not a person who's drunk with the desire to have some power and some authority. I do not need bodyguards to walk around with. I don't need all that stuff. I need some brothers who want to be serious about working for Allah, waiting to see where Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is going to open up for us the next opportunity to get some people to support us, to get our community to grow, to start doing the things that we need to be doing to give us better lives, asking Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to make us the Ansar of His Sunnah and the Ansar of His Deen, asking Allah Ta'ala to give us clarity in our position and to be behind us and supportive of our efforts. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى التوفيق والسداد أقم الصلاة